This morning's gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 26. This is a change from the original reading of the gospel, as many changes are happening today, as we are worshiping in our homes today instead of worshiping together in the sanctuary of 201 Wick Avenue. And with that change comes the idea that the Holy Spirit will bring us all together in this time of worship, making us be the body of Christ, even in our individual homes, gathering us together in the hearing of God's word. So as we prepare our hearts and minds to hear the scriptures read and the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts that are hearing your word be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Hold us in this time and bring your word to life as you fill us with your spirit and light the path with your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So the gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 26. Listen now for the word of the Lord. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the word social distancing is something that is new to our vocabulary, and yet it is a practice that is rather old, as in it is a practice that is happening even in this passage we are in today. I had to laugh to myself somewhat ironically when I came to realize that this passage was happening in this week. You see, the woman comes to the well around noon. She comes to the well around noon because she expects the well to be empty, to not find anyone there. Most people come to the well, most women come to the well early in the day to beat the heat, or in the evening when the sun is getting ready to set. It was those who were outcasts who would come in the middle of the day to avoid having to meet people and the whispers and the stares and the rumors that would be spread, or the snide remarks that would be said. And the Samaritan woman was no exception to this. So she came at noon so that she could come to the well, get the water, and not have to be with anyone. And yet, God had other plans. On this day, she is greeted by a Jewish man who asks for a drink. This in and of itself is scandalous, because a Jewish individual would never speak to a Samaritan, let alone a Jewish man speaking to a woman. This is unheard of. But Jesus is asking her for water. And when she responds in saying, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? And he responds, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And when the back and forth stops and it comes to the idea of what this living water would be, how this water would make it so she would never thirst again, and she would be filled with a spring of water gushing up to eternal life, she responds by saying, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming back here to draw water. She longs for this water because not only would this water show that she has eternal life, but it would mean she would not have to keep on going to the place where she is not wanted. She would not have to keep on going to the place where she is reminded of all the sins from her past, reminded of all the ways she is broken, reminded of all the ways she has fallen short. And when she says this, Jesus isn't willing to let it slide by. And so Jesus looks at her and says, go, call your husband and come back. And the woman says, I have no husband, thinking it would just end there.
But Jesus sees her. Our God is the one who sees, and Jesus is the one who sees her. Sees the good, sees the bad, sees it all in her. And he says, you are right. And he talks of all the pain she has been through, all that she has experienced, all that has broken her in her life. We don't know the details of what has made it that she has had five husbands and the one she is with now is not her husband. We don't know if this is a system of oppression. We don't know if this has just been bad luck. We don't know if this has been by her doing. We don't know what it all means. But what we do know is that God, Jesus is offering her a water that will cleanse that away while filling her with a spring of hope, a spring of life, a spring that will make her never thirsty for anything again like what she has experienced before. Friends, when we come to this story, we see the story of Jesus offering hope by offering his very self. Because he is the living waters that run deep. The living waters that run deep into our souls by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit that brings truth into our lives. The Spirit that brings hope. The Spirit that brings us to a place to know who we are and whose we are. A spirit that knows that outside sources don't have the right to define us, but only Jesus, only God, only the Spirit have the right to define us. And in that, we are set free to let the living waters spring forth in us and make us whole once again. As the story continues, the Samaritan woman is so made whole and set free and brought to life by these springing waters that she goes forth and she tells everyone about the Messiah and who he is in a way that had never been done before, making her now the prophet that she is asking Jesus if he is. And that living water flows from her into the world. Friends, we have this living water offered to us by Jesus as well. And this living water runs deep in us. We are given a chance now to use this living water in a world that is very much in need of it. A world that is filled with so much fear and uncertainty. Are we going to let people continue to just be alone and scared and afraid? Or are we going to bring the living water to the world as we go out as the prophets, as God has called us to be? How that looks at any given time will be different. And right now we're in a time where everything looks a little different. If you're hearing these words, it's not from us sitting together in the sanctuary as it usually is. It's by you listening to me over your computer. And that is different. If you are hearing these words, it's from a recording that is different than how it would be if you were to see me standing before you. But yet we know that God's words can be transmitted now through the gift of technology, and that the Holy Spirit is more powerful than we are. And that God's water living water runs deeper than we could ever imagine. And so where are these wells now that people are being excluded from? Where are these wells now that people feel like they can't go at the times of popular dwelling places and need to go at off times when the world is well? Where are these wells now that as we are learning to live in our separate places, we can reach out with the living water that runs so deep through phone calls or cards or emails or texts or whatever it may be? Because friends, the living water of Jesus is a water that will make it so we will never thirst again. And it will become a spring of water gushing up and bringing eternal life. It is a gift that we are called to share and to offer. And it's a gift that we are called to fill ourselves with. And so in this time of uncertainty, in this time of being in social isolation, some might say, how are you going to the well? How are you going to the well of Jesus? And how are you finding ways to fill yourself with the living waters that run so deep? May you know God's love in real ways and find ways to share that living water, so that you can go out and be the prophet, just like the Samaritan woman became. In the name of the Creator and the Redeemer and the Sustainer, amen.